That's right. It is Stillman and Company here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Jared Stillman today alongside Mark Howard. I'm at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators and the Blackhawks will do battle tonight. And be listening. We'll have your chance to win tickets. Not qualify. Actually, win tickets for tomorrow night. That coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So be paying attention and listen for the cue to call to try and win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game against Chicago here at Bridgestone Arena. But let's get into, Mark, the Tennessee coaching search. As Danny White is now at his post as athletic director, his first task is to find the next head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of people's work on names that they're hearing or names that they think would be a good fit. And Bruce Feldman of The Athletic just did an article talking about just the, you know, the rumors and different names that are out there. But there was a quote that really stood out to me of just kind of where the program is as a whole right now. And he talks about first, he goes, White's hire on Friday brought a legitimate athletic director and leader into the picture. And the second reason why he considers it to be a better job now than it was 3 years ago when Pruitt was hired, and I completely agree, quote, it's better because Philip Fulmer is out, said a source. Here he is, Mr. Tennessee, and he keeps getting himself in the way. Now you don't have to worry about that shadow. And I think that is a spot-on assessment. And Philip Fulmer won a national championship. He did a lot of great things as a coach. Don't look at his tenure as AD as a good one. Jeremy Pruitt obviously did not work out, and that press conference for him to say farewell was not very good either, memorable for the wrong reasons. But I think that fits my narrative of staying out of the family and getting some new eyes and a new voice in there. I agree with the statement. I think the job is better now because you got Danny White as AD and Philip Fulmer's gone.
I think I agree with you. I thought that was a pretty profound quote. But the other part of it is when you start debating whether this job is better or worse than the last time it was open, I agree with the contention that it's better because Danny White is seated as AD. And I think that's really important. You know, Danny White is going to be the guy to run interference for his new guy over the next few years. It's not going to be an easy rebuild. As we know, the transfer portal is gridlocked with Vols players. They can't wait to get out of there. Now, maybe the new hire excites some of them to maybe come back. But the great thing about the transfer portal is it giveth and it also taketh away. So you can rebuild your roster fairly quickly now with, you know, immediate transfers that you can just plug in and play. Now, that doesn't always mean it's going to work out. But getting to the bigger picture, Chase, this job is going to be a challenge. They've got an impending NCAA investigation. Nobody knows what the penalties are going to be. Are they going to lose scholarships, for instance? You know, who knows? Will Tennessee self-impose and not go to a bowl game this coming year? That might be the best medicine to take. So there are a lot of things out there, not necessarily pluses if you want to attract a quality coach, but a lot of people feel like, you know, Danny White alone, you know, will be alluring enough for Tennessee to get a quality coach in there for a job that's going to take probably 3, 4, even 5 years. He's going to have to offer them a lot of years and a lot of money, this person coming in, because for once, Tennessee needs to exhibit some patience and not get it, you know, not get antsy by year 3 or 4 and then want to change coaches again.
Yeah, this is not going to get fixed overnight. That's really the bottom line to it. And Tennessee has spent so much money on buyouts and paying a coach to go away. Now they have to be willing to spend the money to get a good quality program building coach to come in and fix it along with the help of Danny White. 615-737-1025. You can call or text 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is Tennessee a better job now than it was 3 years ago? And to your point, too, I always try to say this whenever there is a big move, whether it's an AD or a coaching hire, and I've used this analogy. You know, my family comes from restaurants, and they had their own business for a long time. But one thing that my dad, my grandfather, everybody taught me was when you hire somebody to do a job, let them do the job. You have identified that person as, I believe in you to do this job, so I'm going to let you do it because I got stuff that I got to worry about, so I can't constantly look over your shoulder and make sure you're doing the job. The boosters, the chancellor, everybody in charge at Tennessee needs to let Danny White do his job, and then Danny White needs to have the faith in the next head coach to let the head coach do their job as they all are important in fixing this program.
I keep, you know, you hear James Franklin. I don't know why James Franklin would want to come to Tennessee. I still think he's got it better at Penn State. Yeah, they went 4-5, but yeah, last year was a crazy year. He had a ton of players opt out. I realize that he hasn't exactly, you know, crushed it in recruiting, but they're still going to be good. That's his home state. You've got a deeper pool of talent in the state of Pennsylvania than you do in the state of Tennessee. I don't think there's any question about it. And when you're Penn State, you know, you should be able to do pretty well. So I don't understand why James Franklin would leave Penn State to come to Tennessee. Plus, right now, yeah, Ohio State is his major obstacle. But Penn State's better than Michigan, I would contend right now. You can tell me all you want about Michigan, but Michigan is a program in transition. So really, who's he afraid of other than Ohio State? You come to the SEC, even in the SEC East, you've got Georgia, you've got Florida. I mean, you know, so you've got some obstacles there too.
Yeah, and bringing up James Franklin, because I heard when all this happened and the whole process started, I know Jared put James Franklin out as a part of his list, and I immediately just kind of cocked my head and said, yeah, there's no chance, just like you did. But I get why people are going there, because they look at what he did at Vanderbilt in 3 years. I mean, he had his phrases, and I know everyone, you know, laughed at Vanderbilt and all the things and just trying to sell that program. He would be really, really good at trying to sell a program that needs to, you know, that these kids need to hear why they should come to UT and why he's the right guy for the job. He certainly could do that. And then taking over Penn State, even though Bill O'Brien was there for a couple of years after the scandal, just building off of that of trying to change the image and win. And I'm with you. Last year, it is what it is. It's, you just kind of push that aside for what happened with the pandemic and all of that. But I agree. I don't think he's going to leave. I understand the thought. And if it happened, I think it would be a huge win for Tennessee and for Danny White if he was able to lure James Franklin away. I just think it's going to take a lot of money to be able to do that. And I think there are some other names out there that would be just as good to find as the head coach at Tennessee.
I don't know if he could find anybody better than Franklin. It would take a lot of money and a lot of persuasion. I just don't see, if I'm James Franklin, why I would make this move. You're almost hard pressed to make the comparison that this would be a lateral move. I think Penn State is one of the 5 or 10 best jobs in America. Tennessee might be top 15 or 20. And I just, unless James Franklin just feels like that program is going to just absolutely crater, or they're headed for bad things. But I don't get the sense he feels that way. He's got a new offensive coordinator. You know, he did redo his staff a little bit. And, you know, last year, gosh, you know, I just don't know how you can make an evaluation as crazy as last year was. When you've got players opting out, when you've got games, you know, postponed, and you know, you've got a different opponent at a moment's notice. And so I think you look at last year for what it was and just move on. But again, I just don't see the allure for James Franklin this time around.
So Jared has texted me. Jared, hope you're feeling better. And he says there's a lot of talk around who the Vols will hire, but a Division I Power 5 head coach who has been mentioned for but is not interested in the UT job thinks Jamie Chadwell will get the job and thinks it's very cut and dry. That's what Jared has wanted me to put out there. And I think Jamie Chadwell would be a fine hire. It's just you're going to have to give him time.
Well, Jamie Chadwell has had some NCAA problems. You know, they had wins taken away at Coastal Carolina, I think in 18 and 19. He's going up a few weight classes in terms of who he's coaching for and against, and that worries me a little bit too. Let's see, you know, what happens here with Tony Elliott, who Vols fans don't seem to be that thrilled about, but that's a guy that everybody seems to want, Clemson's offensive coordinator. And there are a few other guys out there. So, you know, PJ Fleck is an intriguing guy, and I know people make fun of him because of the row the boat thing and all that. And he can seem a little goofy, but he's done an unbelievable job at Minnesota. And again, you know, did not have a great year this past season, but, you know, the opt-outs for him, especially early in the season, really crippled his team. They had a terrible defense. He lost a lot of good players on that side of the ball. But again, it's hard to sell a 15 and 19 coach in Big Ten play to Tennessee's fan base, even though he might end up being a really good coach there.
615-737-1025. Is Tennessee a better job now with Philip Fulmer out than it was 3 years ago? We'll take your calls. We'll read your texts. And also, the safest hire for Danny White. Who might that be? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Stillman and Company, Chase McCabe, Mark Howard here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman today. I am at Bridgestone Arena in the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Preds, Blackhawks. Later on tonight, Ian Safar hanging out at the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Mark, in the home studio, as a lot of us are doing these days here in 2021, talking about Tennessee and the coaching hire. Is this job better 3 years later, now that Philip Fulmer is out and you have Danny White, who I still love the hire, I believe is a legitimate athletic director and can do well. You got to see how it plays out. He can do some great things at Tennessee. 615-737-1025, taking your calls, taking your texts. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville. First, he wants to know how Jared is. Jared is feeling better. He did announce yesterday he tested positive for COVID-19, but he's at home in isolation, feeling better, and hopes to be doing the show later in the week from the home studio. But for the UT job, what would the top salary number be? He floats out there $5 million. What do you think it would take, Mark, to lure a coach, whether they're established at the Power 5 level or not, to that job?
I don't think money is that much of an object, believe it or not. I'm sure they're willing to pay in that neighborhood. You know, PJ Fleck, for instance, is making $5 million a year at Minnesota. I could see Tennessee going to $6 million or maybe higher. I think Tennessee knows that right now, if they want to reel in, you know, a candidate, a top level candidate, they're going to have to pay a little bit more, and they're going to have to give him a 6-7, maybe even an 8-year contract. They're going to have to go beyond the pale if they want to bring in a quality coach. They're just going to have to do it. It's the price of doing business right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I go back to saying, well, you're willing to pay all this money for buyouts. You're willing to pay all this money for them to go away. Now, because you're in this position, because you're, you know, you've had a decade plus of not having success and having to run people off, you're going to have to overpay to get the right guy. In your mind, who would be the safest hire? And I'll say the caveat of, you know, maybe that coach that is the safest hire you know, isn't going to come. It's not going to happen. But what would be the safest move for Danny White and company?
Well, you know, first of all, what does safe really mean? Does that mean a guy is going to come in and win 8 or 9 games? You know, if that's the case, then go out and hire Gus Malzahn. You know, that would be considered a safe hire. You know, a dangerous hire would be Hugh Freeze, you know, who goes against everything they talked about. But maybe, you know, and I understand what they're doing here. But boy, I just think sometimes you're not hiring a saint. You're hiring a football coach. And I just think, you know, look beyond the job description and understand that a lot of these guys operate in the gray area with the NCAA. And Hugh Freeze, believe me, is not beyond reproach, you know, of course. But that would be a guy who would want this job. I don't know. I don't see it happening.
No.
But I don't think the world would end if they brought Hugh Freeze to Knoxville.
No, because here's the biggest difference in Hugh Freeze and a lot of the names that we're talking about. He got caught. that's I mean, that's what it, whether you agree with that or it's right or it's wrong, it's the truth, because gray area is a very good way to put it, Mark. They all have some things that maybe, you know, it's questionable, but that's the cost of winning. I mean, that's the competition. Unfortunately, that's just it. He got caught. And so therefore, because Tennessee is in a position where their former coach, number one, wasn't winning. Let's just call the most important thing out. He wasn't winning. He wasn't performing. It turned out to not be a good hire, but he also got caught, and they're going to be in trouble. And so that's why Hugh Freeze probably isn't going to get this job. But I have been, you know, throwing his name out there. I even threw his name out there of, I know they won't do it. There's not a chance they won't touch him. But Hugh Freeze at Vanderbilt would have been, you know, a home run hire for them, just because he wants to get back into it and he could sell the program and he could win. But I understand that some of these programs just aren't going to go there because he got caught.
Well, I never saw Hugh Freeze going to Vanderbilt. I don't think he was really ever that interested. But Tennessee, he is. And I get it. But stop talking about wanting to hire the paragon of virtue and hire a guy who's going to win here.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reaction would be. And again, you can't always judge by the lunatic fringe when it comes to Tennessee fans, because I think many of them would love to see Hugh Freeze. Some of them would love to see Lane Kiffin, but I just don't see Lane Kiffin coming back. I mean, that would be, yeah, bringing back Lane Kiffin is like dating the girl who dumped you the first time, you know, who you had a good year, you know, had a good 1 year relationship with, and then just totally dumped you and left you for somebody else. And now that she's available again, you want to go out with her again. You know, to me, bad idea, bad idea. Dr. Phil would totally disapprove of going after Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I can say this though, and maybe it's the wrong approach, but for what we do, oh man, the storylines that would be around that, and
yeah,
know,
it would be,
I mean,
great.
But I mean, could he go? Could he come back and win? You know, and that's the big thing. Yeah, he had a decent first year at Ole Miss. There's a lot of hype around him. He's gone through the Nick Saban coaching rehabilitation program. So what does it look like there? I mean, I know that the fan base would be all about it. The fan base would be all about Hugh Freeze too. And if they hire Hugh Freeze, I'm not going to sit here going, well, you know, it's a bad move. I think they shouldn't have done it. I'm not going to say that. My co-host Willie Donick will. He's not for it. He's been very adamant about that, and I understand why. But I think that Tennessee is going to, they're going to have to try and get the right guy, knowing what coaches do, but they're also going to have to go more of the safer route because of the position that they're in.
Well, I'll say this much, Jace. Tennessee's going to have to get a little creative. They're going to have to probably maybe not take a walk on the wild side, but they're going to have to put, there's going to have to be an element of risk to this hire, And if you're going to go that route, then why not hire Hugh Freeze? If you're satisfied that he's at least coming close to walking the straight and narrow, but you never know. Once you get them back into the SEC, you don't know if, again, we're going to have, you know, the recruiting of Robert Condici, the Condici family, and all of that, and all the Barney Farrar garbage, you know, that happened at Ole Miss. So maybe it's better, I guess, if they don't. But there's going to be perhaps an element of risk here, and that's why they're going to have to probably offer more years and more money to get the guy they want. The other person that hasn't been talked about enough, they got to give Billy Napier the opportunity to turn the job down. He turned down South Carolina, but he's a Tennessee guy. He's done an outstanding job at Louisiana. To me, that's a guy worth looking at.
I don't disagree. I think he's one of those hot names, and he deserves a chance at this level. Are you one of those guys that it has to be a Tennessee guy? It has to have connections, or does that matter to you? Because I've been just saying that getting away from some of the connections may be what they need to do, but they did that with Danny White.
Well, I don't necessarily believe that you do it to win the press conference. I think that's the most ridiculous notion of all. I don't believe that you go out and get an alum. I'm just saying that the Tennessee connection might compel Billy Napier to take this job where he might not have, somewhere else like South Carolina. It's interesting to me that there are some coaches in this, in this selection process that were more interested in Tennessee than Auburn. Right. And you can, it's been proven you can win a national title at Auburn. At Tennessee, not so much lately. So, no, I'm not big on the local connection being a priority, but sometimes it can be a hook.
Sure, and that was kind of my thing with Clark Lee and Vanderbilt, that, okay, he understands. He understands the lay of the land. Maybe that's a good thing. I just think it's different from job to job. 615-737-1025. You can call or text. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Reggie has a comment on Philip Fulmer and another name we haven't brought up, Tom Herman. Reggie, welcome in.
Hey, thank you, guys. I might lose you. I'm driving back home to Memphis. I think the hire of the new AD is – I'm not a UT fan. Let me say that on the front end. But I think the hire of the new AD is the right way to go. They've got a multi-million dollar athletic program there, and they need a professional to run it. That good old boy friend thing, I don't think that's the way you run a big-time athletic department. And I think the new AD is going to do a good job there. I like Tom Herman a lot for a lot of reasons. He's got ties to Texas. What do you guys think about Tom Herman?
All right. Well, appreciate the call, Reggie. Thanks for calling in. We'll answer that. Tom Herman, it didn't work, but I don't think he's a bad coach. It didn't work there at Texas. What do you think?
I like Tom Herman, and I don't necessarily condemn him because it didn't work out for him at Texas. That's a hard place to win. You've got to, circumnavigate. Not only in recruiting, but also with people following the program, it was just tough for him. As a candidate for the Tennessee job, I think they'd be crazy not to talk to him. I just think that Herman's in a position right now. He just got a huge buyout. Probably a good idea for him to sit out a year and reassess, and then go back into it for the 2022 season. I just don't see him taking a job like Tennessee.
Well, and I think that there'll just be more to choose from in 2022 than there was here. I think that you make a very good point about Texas. It's hard to win there because there's so many expectations. Some of them are realistic. Some of them are not. Tennessee can fall in the same category because there are still those people that look at Tennessee and they go, well, it feels like 98. They're the same. That's the same program in 1998, competing for national championships and getting you know, great quarterback play and getting, you know, being wide receiver you and all these things of the past. And it's just not that anymore. It's not that anymore because the university has allowed it to get to this point, and they've had hires like Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt and Butch Jones to hurt the program. But it's also not that way because the landscape of college football has just changed. Alabama is the gold standard. You have Nick Saban in your conference that he doesn't appear to be going anywhere at 69 years old, and he's going to keep just churning out players year after year. That's the brass tacks. That's how it is. Now, can you turn the program around to compete in the East and to be in the same level as a Georgia or a Florida? Sure you can, but you're not going to do it tomorrow, and that's where the fan base and the boosters and people involved, quite frankly, have to understand that, going back to one of our original points here, you have to give it time. You have to give it time to fix and to look at the future, and you can't fix the past, but you have to be able to build for the future, and they're just not going to be able to do that in the time span that the fan base thinks.
Well, but I'll tell you what, the other thing that I like about this selection process, and we can say what we want about Dondi Plowman and, you know, what she said and, what Tennessee's current administration seems to be looking at, but there apparently is a lot less booster involvement in this selection process than there has been before. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's like you said, Chase, you know, with your family, you know, you got to let your management people manage. You've got to let your AD go out and hire his coach or her coach or whatever. And that's the one thing, you know, we're going to know this time, that that Danny White, whomever he brings in, it's going to be his choice. It's not going to be a compromise. You know, it's not going to be a debate or anything like that. And I like that. I just think that sometimes you don't want to say that, you know, you're letting the inmates run the asylum. You know, let the qualified person that you hired go out there and do what he does best. That's why they brought him in, to hire a football coach. So let him do it.
Yeah, and I get the sense that Plowman is going to let that happen. I've said over the last couple of weeks when we've been talking about this that I don't know anything about her. You don't learn anything about chancellors unless bad things happen. That's when you hear from them. And, you know, unfortunately, we've heard from a lot of chancellors the last few years from Tennessee. But I do get the sense that even though the press conference of when they were announcing that Pruitt was out and Fulmer was retiring, that they fumbled and bumbled that, I thought she was the better of the three. And now that she has brought in Danny White, I feel like she is backing off. She knows what's going on. She should know what's going on. You know, keep her in the loop. But she's letting him do this and go through this process. And I also think that it's positive, even though for what we do, we would like to know exactly what's going on. I think it's positive that you don't, that this is a, you know, he's got his list. He knows who he has talked to and who is interested and who isn't. And now it's just, we just have to sit here and speculate until he's ready to give us some more information. And I'm totally fine with that because that means he's got control of the process.
Yeah, I read some of the lists, some of the hot boards.
Oh, yeah.
It was on the hot board. Mario Cristobal just signed a new contract at Oregon. That's not going to happen. He's not coming here. Lane Kiffin, you know, come on. Now, an interesting name, Matt Campbell's not coming here either. Matt Campbell's going to end up at a top five program somewhere if he's not coaching one right now. But Scott Satterfield would be a risky hire, but he'd be an interesting hire. And, you know, his 4-7 record this past season, probably not what you want to see. But again, I wouldn't place too much of an emphasis on 2020. You know, that's a guy, who has shown he can win. That's a guy who has shown that he can come in and change a culture. And right now, he did not handle – especially with the Auburn job, or rather the South Carolina job, some of the rumors the way that he should have. But I think he's an attractive candidate.
Yeah, and that is a name that I have seen, and I've kind of had the same reaction of you of going, okay, I wouldn't hate it. You know, it maybe it's not at the top of the list, but I wouldn't hate it at all. How much with – when we come back, how much with signing day being around the corner, does it affect the timeline of getting this done at all? Mark and I will discuss that. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts on Tennessee and the coaching search. Is Tennessee a better job now, 3 years after the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt, than it was then? It's Stillman & Company, Chase McKay, Mark Howard, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It doesn't. I didn't think it did even prior to the hiring of Danny White, but he even was asked about that in the press conference. He was like, I hadn't even thought about signing day. So it's not on his radar. I mean, obviously he's got a lot of other things in his mind. It's not like it, you know, that isn't an important date, but it, in a normal year, it would, even with the early signing period, it would be something you would think about, but not anymore as much. And then the fact that Tennessee has filled most of its class already, and then also there, it's basically they don't have a lot of spots left, and the spots they do are probably going to need to come from the transfer market. So in this special situation, you know, USC and Alabama and Georgia, they're going to add a bunch of 4 and 5 stars late in the game still. But for Tennessee, unless they give a whole bunch of guys, let them out of their national letter of intent, their highest rated guy, Dylan Brooks, he's already asked out. Don't know if he's been given that release yet. They may probably are waiting a little bit to get a new coach in place and then hopefully talk to him. But I think that cannot and is not a big factor here at Tennessee with that February signing day.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal, up in Knoxville, and Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. Welcome back into Stillman & Company. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. In for Jared Stillman today. He hopes to be back in the saddle again tomorrow. So I asked a question about National Signing Day. It's coming up on February 3rd, and I agree with Vince. I think at this point, you can't let it really factor into things. I mean, it's there. It's important. It's obviously different with the way recruiting has been with COVID. You are going to have players that are transferring that you can get. Once you get the new coach in place, you can get some players out of the portal. I just think with Tennessee and the way the roster is right now, they're just going to have to deal with it. That's part of trying to get the coach in here of, hey, this is what you got. You're not inheriting a great roster. You're going to have to fill the cupboard back up, but that just gets added to the checklist. So I just think that the only thing that really needs to be a factor for Danny White is finding the right guy for the job.
Absolutely. It'd be great if he got him in this week. And maybe they can salvage the class. That's happened before. They've done okay. The other sort of interesting candidate out there, Chase, if you don't mind me interjecting another name, because we didn't talk about him, is Lance Leopold at Buffalo. A guy that Danny White knows really well.
Yeah.
And a guy that is intriguing because he won a bunch of national championships in Division III. He's done a terrific job at Buffalo. And that's a guy that whose name comes up now when Power 5 jobs are available. And he's considered a risky hire because he's made the unlikely climb. But you talk to people who know him, and just about everybody feels like he can make the transition. So with Danny White, hire him to come to Tennessee, it would certainly be interesting.
Well, he's a name that came up that when the news came out that Danny White had been hired, Darren Willey and I were talking about it, and his name came up because of the connection that you just made. My thought on it is I believe that the fan base is going to get to the point where they're going to look at Danny White. They're listening to people, or they should be listening to people that know Danny White and know his track record and what he's done in a very short career, only in his early 40s, 41 years old. And they're going to go, okay, I trust him more than I've trusted other ADs. I know everybody looked at Fulmer because he was Coach Fulmer and all of that, but I think you just have to trust that he knows what he's doing. And if he gets up there and he says, hey, Coach Leopold is the right guy for this job, I've worked with him, I trust him, I need you to trust him too, there's going to be some fans that are going to be how they always are. Oh, well, it's not a name I've heard of, so therefore he must suck. I look at it, if that's the guy that Danny White, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he says, yeah, he's the right one, then I'm going to trust it. And he's done a very good job at Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo's been a dominant team in the MAC, any way you look at it. And you look at that offense, and that offense has just been a juggernaut. It did get slowed down in the championship game by Ball State, but still – he's done an incredible job there.
Yeah, and I am familiar with the Maction, just so you know, Mark. It's fantastic, you know, midweek, Wednesday night, love it. All about that Maction, boss. So that is an interesting name to throw out there. But I do think that it's got to be about trust. And the fans at this point, and I've said you're a passionate fan base, and I get it, you've been patient, and you want to succeed, and you want to win again. Now you're just going to have to trust because you got a good hire at AD. And I really, knock on wood, really do feel like they're going to get this right. And so if it's Lance Leopold or if it's Gus Malzahn or, you know, heck, if it's Lane Kiffin, like you have to trust the process that they got it right. And I believe that's going to be the case with this. I really do. I don't know why I'm feeling as confident as I am. But it's been a long time since anything has made me feel confident in Tennessee.
They initially targeted tomorrow when the search would be concluded. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, we'll see if he can wrap things up this week.
Well, I think it does happen. I think by Friday we're talking about the next head coach. I do. I said that, I guess, at the end of last week. We were talking about it on the midday show of, yeah, I believe that it gets done because I think it has to. I think they know that, you know, they went so quickly with the AD hire. I mean, think about it. They were doing the press conference on Tuesday, I guess it was, and then there was a guy in place by the end of the week. So I do think it happens. And, you know, I sat there preparing for the show today going, man, I hope we get some breaking news. It'd be nice to talk about a football coach up in Knoxville. Hasn't happened just yet at this point at 3:44, but you never know. So we will talk a little bit more about this with Trevor Maddich when he joins us at 4:30 today here on Stillman and Company. But when we come back, we'll shift back into the Predators. Remember to keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's game. As you look at the issues that are currently plaguing the Predators right now, is it the players because there are so many new ones, or is it the coaches and the system? Or is it just a combination of the two? We'll discuss that. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard on Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How would you evaluate the chemistry development with the new pieces and the pieces that have been here on your team so far?
Again, I agree with what you're saying. And again, it's apparent that the chemistry is not, you know, quite there throughout our lineup. I mean, forward-wise, you know, I think our first line with Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg has been clearly our best line and has been producing goals pretty much every game except the first game in Dallas. Having said that, the other lines are, you know, the fourth line has changed a little bit, and the second and third line, I think they have like one 5-on-5 or even strength goal in five games. And we need more. You got a lot of guys that have nothing on the board, either, you know, goals or assists or anything. And they're going back to that the word again, their impact on the game has been minimal. And it has to be more, and it has to be more consistent. Everybody has a specific role. They were signed for a specific reason, and you know, some players are just not playing their role, and thus that's affecting the outcomes of the games. And I'm hoping that this is a short sample size of five games, and that this chemistry, to use your word, gets to be a little bit better as we move on, and players from their contribution to the club and our feeling about them, goes to be a little bit better and more successful place.
Nashville Predators general manager David Poile on Darren Donovan Chase earlier today. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15 on the midday show. Chase McKay, Mark Howard here on Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I thought that was those were pretty candid comments by David earlier today, Mark, of, you know, that he signed these players, he had a vision of where they were going to go and what role they were going to play, and it's just now getting them to play the roles that he needs them to play.
Yeah, and again, we got to keep sound like a broken record, but they've only played 5 games. I thought it was interesting on Sunday, John Hines tweaking his top two lines and putting Forsberg with Matt Duchene. You know, Forsberg is off to a phenomenal start, leading the team by a lot in goals. So hopefully he can ignite something with Matt Duchene, who I thought played one of his better games on Sunday, and maybe that'll get him going. But yeah, he's right. You know, they need more results from their lower six. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we'll see if it starts tonight against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and, you know, because I know what people are going to do and what they're going to say. I see it on Twitter all the time of – because David Poile is the one that signs the players. And so if the players come in and they're not playing the way that they need to be playing, everybody's going to look at him because he's the one that then brings them in. But it's at some point it's also up to the players. They have to do the job too. They've agreed to do the job. Now they have to go out and they have to produce. So I think that the moves that he has made have been the right ones at the time that he's made them. Now it's just putting it all together. And I'm glad you brought up Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene is a prime example of that. And I will never forget asking him after they got eliminated by Arizona of how he would evaluate his first season with the Nashville Predators. And he said very candidly, it was very up and down, and that can't be. It's got to be more up than down. And I think he's taken that ownership of it, and I think there are other ones that have taken the ownership of what they need to do. But then there are some that it still hasn't clicked the way that it needs to, and that is what's contributing to the power play, the penalty kill, and then even some of the five-on-five play.
And this is where, you know, we get into the role of the third and the fourth lines as far as the lines that are supposed to ramp up the energy, that are supposed to be the hustle guys, the grit guys, you know, the guys that, you know, maybe, you know, change the tone, you know, out there during a game. And unfortunately, it's been a conga line to the penalty box, you know, which has absolutely hamstrung the Predators, because they haven't done a very good job of killing off those penalties. And you're right. You know, they've got to get better. The good news is, especially with the taxi squad, John Hines, you know, has enough players to work with that he's going to try some combinations. And he's not the only coach who's going through this. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And maybe, you know, in another 5-10 games, we can get a truer read on this team top to bottom.
Yeah, and you brought up Forsberg earlier. I mean, I have been one of those people that has been, and I remember us talking about it, of, okay, he's been good. He's been a star for this team, but then there's a whole nother level. Now, I would say four goals in 5 games is a pretty darn good way to start getting to that other level. I mean, that's what he's paid to do. That's what he needs to do to be the go-to guy for this team. And you look at the stat sheet right now, and you see Forsberg leading the goal column, and you have Victor Arvidsson that's actually leading the point column because he's been assisting on a lot of those. But now it's, okay, well, who's next? Who else is going to step up? A lot was made about Luke Cunnan. He started off hot with 2 goals. That's all he has so far. And then you go down the line, and you have Richardson and Grimaldi, and then that's it. So that's where you have to have Forsberg continue to play his role of being the superstar, the stud on this team, but then somebody else has to answer the call as well.
And, you know, there's the other element to this too, Chase, and that is Roman Josi. You know, he won the Norris Trophy last year, and that's a guy they need more from, and he's been the first person to admit it. And I fully expect Roman Josi to be a bigger presence in the coming games, because we're used to this. I'm not going to let, you know, a few bad games, you know, change my opinion on this guy. I mean, he, you know, all of a sudden, you know, is not going to become a non-factor. So I think, you know, let's just see, you know, what happens, like I said, in the next 5 or 10 games, and maybe we can get a better read on things.
I feel like so many times, too, it's just it's a lazy excuse to go to a superstar player that either has a bad start or they just have a bad year. Like Kevin Byard for the Titans, he had a bad year. He did. Now, can he bounce back? We're going to find out. Roman Josi, you're not seeing the numbers jump at you. He just won the Norris Trophy. He's not scoring the goals. It's early, but there are some people that are like, oh, what's wrong with Josi? What's wrong? Why isn't he playing that way? You just have to realize that these guys are also human, and there's going to be slow starts, and you just have to give it a little time. I mean, the guy just won the Norris Trophy saying he's the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. I really think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, and the other thing, too, is, and I'd love to, I'm going to be interested to ask Hal this. You know, I think as the season goes along, I'd be fascinated to see the evolution of how people view the way the schedule is set up. And I'm not trying to, you know, provide these guys with cover, you know, for not playing well. But it's interesting to me, when you play, you know, these two game series and how it manifests itself, on your roster. And it's that's going to be another intriguing aspect of this season.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of a feeling out process as well as time goes along. And I know that you can't really have a ton of that because it's such a short season. But I do think it's a very good point with how the schedule is set up. Hal Gill is going to join us at 5:30, and of course we'll have Predators game day before we turn things over to pregame. That's later on in the show as we get ready for the Preds and the Blackhawks, and be listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game here at Bridgestone Arena as game number 2 of the Preds and the Blackhawks. When we return, we'll talk more NFL. There could be some big name quarterbacks for the second year in a row on the move in the National Football League. What will the quarterback landscape look like in the NFL and most notably the AFC South? We'll discuss that next. Jason McCabe, Mark Howard, Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game.